It's the Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, Tarncast. It's the Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, Tarncast. It's the Tarncast, Tarncast. This is the Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, the Tarncast.
Hi, welcome to the Tarncast. I am your guest. Not your guest. You are my guest.
Yeah, what are you even talking about?
I'm the host. That's because the last time we were in a bar, we were so drunk. I think I'm just kind of like channeling back to our old.
Right.
By the end of the day, I was calling myself the guest of my own show.
Right.
I am Hillary, your host, and I'm happy to welcome Todd back to our special ginger broadcast of the Tarncast.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
It was fun last time. I had a good time.
It was a good time. The bar that we were at was pretty weird, but...
There are some interesting folks. Goiters and whatnot.
Goiters, yeah. I remember the goiters.
But it's nice to have people back that, offended me as much as I offended them, because it's just rare.
Yeah, that's true.
You have a guest that can do that.
Yeah. Well, it's good for ratings, you know.
It really is.
Because the fights and the arguments. And
ugh, my
tension.
Show,
yeah.
The viewership is so incredibly high that I really rely on those times when I have a guest that really brings the ratings up.
Yeah. It's cool, though, that, like, on an audio program, you have a viewership.
No. Well, what you don't know is that there's a camera on both of
us. Oh, yes, are you periscoping this?
Well, you know, certain inside viewers can watch the Tarncast.
Okay.
But you guys are just going to have to go searching for that who are listening to this. Good luck with your search.
Good luck, everybody.
So I decided this time, Todd, since we sort of went off on tangents last time, which were fantastic tangents, by the way.
I thought they were great tangents.
I like tangents, but I've decided to look up on Google the 25 most interesting questions to ask people.
Oh, okay.
And I clicked on the first thing I found.
Okay.
And we'll see how interesting they are. So no pressure, but
okay,
these are your questions.
All right. I'm nervous now.
You should be nervous.
Google makes me nervous.
Google makes everyone nervous.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Okay, the first is really easy. What is your best childhood memory?
My best childhood memory is... I have a lot of good ones. To pick one, that's not that easy. I guess probably my best childhood memory is being on the raft on Beaver Lake with my brother and sister and jumping off into the water and playing like war and stuff.
Mm.
You know, so we'd pretend shoot each other and then pretend like fall, dive into the water, you know.
Beaver Lake, that's not a euphemism. It's what it's called.
Okay.
I need to check.
It was a... the lake was named after the massive amount of beaver found in the area.
By a really small-minded local.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah. This guy was like, God, there's so much beaver
here.
Was
it your dad?
Yeah, it was my dad.
I knew it.
He named Beaver Lake Beaver because of all the beaver.
You have a really crass father, don't you?
Yeah, he's disgusting.
Just, like, offensive.
Absolutely disgusting. Yeah.
I figured that you would have a father like that.
Yeah, he's really disrespectful of other human beings, and he's really crass.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, he just lets it fly. But, you know, he's my dad. I love him. You know, that's how it goes.
That is how it goes.
Yeah. You can't choose your family.
That's very true. What about your brother and sister? Are they pretty crass?
Yeah. They're horrible.
Are they just, like, foul-mouthed, little hooligans?
Almost nothing comes out of their mouths that isn't a curse or disgusting on some level. Yeah.
That's interesting. That must make family gatherings a real hoot at the Anderson household.
Yeah, unless you're easily offended. And then, That's you shouldn't true. Go to my, yeah.
I would find that funny, but I
you would have a
not
great
everyone.
Time. You would have a great time.
I think I'd fit in really well to your family.
Yeah, yeah,
the way
you
you've
would.
Described
yeah,
them.
Yeah, you would love them because you're a disgusting, filthy mouth.
Yeah, thank you. And that's our show. It could be our show, but it's not going to be.
Yeah, it could be.
So that's a good memory. Okay, it's a simple one. Just it's more simple. Like a snippet, a photograph.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if I, I just saw that movie Inside Out.
Uh-huh.
You know, and there were like the different grades of memories, and there were yes. core memories.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of my core memories as a child was when my grandparents were moving to Florida. And my dad said goodbye to them in the driveway. And when he came into the kitchen and my mom and my brother, sister, and I were waiting for him. And he was very sad that his parents were leaving.
Mm.
He looked at me and he got down on his knees and he gave me this really big hug.
Aww.
And it was not the hug that a dad gives to his kid because the kid is sad. This was him wanting me to hug him the way he always hugged me when I was sad. And I'll never forget that.
Mm,
it made me feel
a core memory.
Feel very special. Yeah.
Because he looked to you for
He looked to his eldest
comfort.
Son for their comfort, you know. And we were all sort of a family, didn't know what to do, you know, because my dad wasn't emotional a lot in front of us like that. Now that he's older, he's super sentimental and cries all the time, but he wasn't like that when he was younger.
Hmm.
He was a strong dad. Didn't want everybody to think he was upset about stuff.
But, yeah.
But he couldn't help at that time. And I don't know, it's one of those things too when I don't know. For me, you know, like my dad was sort of the way I think some people look at celebrity, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're like not human, they're other.
Yeah.
And I think that was like one of the first moments where I really realized, hey, my dad's a person just like me.
Mm.
You know, he's not, you know, a supernatural being.
I have a memory like that too. It's interesting. My dad's one of his oldest friends who's a singer, same as Don Costa. When he died, it was the first time I ever saw my dad cry. And it completely shocked me.
Right.
I was floored, and I said to my mom, what's wrong with dad? And she said his friend died, and it was a complete shock that he had that emotion in him. He'd never cried in front of me before.
Yeah it's kind of amazing when those things happen.
Yeah,
I mean, granted, my dad's very crass, so while he was crying about his parents leaving, he was cursing the whole time,
right?
And he was hugging me and cursing into
He's
my
like,
ear.
You fucking bitch, why are you leaving me?
About his
love
mom.
You. Yeah. You fucking mom.
You fucking mom and dad.
I could just see that.
Yeah.
That's so sweet. I want to see a picture of them at the end of the show.
Okay.
You got to show me.
Yeah, sure.
I'd be curious to see what this crass emotional being looks like.
Yeah. You'll be surprised. He doesn't look crass.
Hmm.
He looks like he wouldn't be crass.
Often what looks normal on the outside is crass on the inside.
That's true. I mean, you'd be surprised at all the dudes who look like they just stepped out of an episode of Duck Dynasty, who are really clean.
See, that's
and they
right.
don't, and they keep it all above board.
Yeah.
Not, yeah. Yeah.
Keep it all sweet talk.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Or just offended.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like that kind of talk, miss.
Yeah. They're all like a lot of the bearded backwoods people are like that, but we have it backwards in our minds because of stereotypes and stuff.
Shame on us.
Shame on
really.
Us just, for judging the garbage white people of the world.
How dare we judge white trash in this way?
Yeah, it's unfair.
I actually feel very ashamed of myself. I'm going to flog myself later.
You should.
I will.
Can I watch?
Can your wife come?
She can. I don't know if she'll want to watch.
No, she's not much of a watcher.
No, she's not like a voyeur type.
Oh. Yeah. Well,
I'm always...
Not everyone's a voyeur.
I'm always
know?
Chasing her around the house saying, hey, watch me masturbate.
Check this out.
And she's like, get away from me.
Here's my junk.
Just like frowns on that.
And do you have like a fire red junk, or is it like all hardwood floors?
Well, I have fire red junk, yeah.
But is it?
It's manscaped.
I like to keep it nice. It's not hardwood.
It's floors. Like I shaved it in such a way that it's like a tuft of red, and it looks like a little clown wig. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, which just gets a lot of laughs, you know, from the wife.
It's good to probably do that. So you get the laughs out of the way. So yeah. Then whatever happens after that, like, the laugh is already done. Yeah. Nobody has to be uncomfortable about needing to laugh.
Right, right. And I like find if I get her to like really laughing, then she won't laugh at me during the actual act.
That's so important.
Because she's laughed out.
You know? It's he who laughs first laughs last.
During sex.
During sex. It's like the fortune cookie.
Yeah.
During sex.
People forget in that saying it always ends with during sex. People leave that out.
Yes.
I think because of our puritanical culture, but that's the actual saying.
It is.
He who laughs first laughs last during sex.
During sex.
Yeah.
Or is it laughs hardest?
He who laughs with the hardest erection laughs during sex.
Lasts.
Lasts longest during sex.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
New saying.
But if you have a comical erection that lasts more than 4 hours, you do need to seek medical attention.
Yeah.
But if you can see someone like Patch Adams, so much the better.
Who's Patch Adams?
You don't remember that movie with Robin Williams?
No.
He's a doctor who's being funny.
Oh,
and now,
funny furry doctor.
I don't know if they...
God rest his soul.
They played up the furriness, but yeah. And then...
I just remember him from Moscow on the Hudson. It was like... Poof,
yeah.
The fur just coming out from his neck.
And yeah, him and Dan Hedaya.
They're like...
Super.
If they rubbed together, they'd like get tied in knots.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
You know, in that way that, remember when someone would do torture on you and they'd take your arm hair and rub it in circles and it would knot on your hair?
That.
Do you remember that?
Oh, it was the most painful. It was really painful, worse than the pardon the racism, but what they called Indian sunburns when I was a kid.
Oh, yes.
Where they'd twist your arm in two different, but that thing where they rub the hair, you'd have to hold your, you know, like arm up, bent, so your elbow's bent,
so
and then
they
rub it, and then when you straightened it out, it hurts and tore your hair
and
out.
Torn.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't like
Why
that.
Why do children do these things? It's horrible.
Because children are assholes.
Children are assholes.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the name of the show when I title it, Children Are Assholes.
Children are assholes.
I think just for, on principle.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that makes sense.
I have another question.
Okay.
What name, number 2 through 10? Which number?
Just pick a number?
Yep, because that's going to be the question
Seven.
I ask you. Seven. No, that was my second question.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
Seven.
Who do you most admire in your life, Todd?
What does that have to do with the number 7?
It doesn't. I was just kidding.
Oh, that really was
the That's number 7 on my list.
Oh.
I was pretending that my second question was, what's your favorite? 2 through 7.
What?
2 through 10.
Well, okay. So ask me that question again, because I've forgotten it
Who
already.
Do you most short-term memory problems?
Yeah, I'm,
It's awful. Scotch will always.
Scotch, too much scotch.
Kill the most brain cells.
Yeah, but going to hell in a bucket, but at least I'm enjoying the ride.
Who do you most admire?
In my life, like real people?
Nope.
Fake people?
Anyone you
fictional?
Know. Any fictional characters you'd most... No, Ed, true.
I think the person I most admire in my life is probably my wife.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. She's a very impressive human being.
What makes her so impressive?
Well, she's a good family person.
Mm-hmm.
She's a really good teacher. She's passionate about her job. And in teaching, that's very important.
I would say so.
She's talented as a performer as well.
What does she do?
Currently, mostly what she does is sing backup for a band. But that's fun to watch. But sometimes she
does. What band?
They're called Punch the Clown.
Punch the clown.
Yeah, that's a euphemism.
For what?
Jacking it.
Punch the clown is a jacking it euphemism?
Yeah, because
I've never heard that one.
Because your fist.
Ooh, it's so violent.
Your fist wraps around your clown, your dick.
And you're just strangling. You're just mad at that clown.
Oh, yeah, mad at that
clown. Get the clown! Get the clown!
Yeah. And you want his nose to explode. And confetti to come out. Yeah.
Okay, so she's in a band.
That's
very cool.
And she's just, I don't know, there's something about her. I mean, it's not just me. People always mention that to me. She's, someone recently said she's a ray of sunshine. She's just got this demeanor that makes people feel good about life in general. Hmm. She's like that with everybody, except like when everybody's gone and it's just the two of us, she just fucking changes. She turns it off. But I'm accentuating the positive here.
Does she, like when the last person closes the door, does she just start beating?
The first thing she does is give me a double purple nurple. She just titty twists me.
Double purple.
It fucking hurts so much. And then sometimes she'll just like right after, like when I fall to my knees in pain from the titty twister, she'll just hit me right in the face with a closed fist.
Damn.
Yeah. But other than that, she's great.
Wow. Sounds like a really good person. I'd love to meet her.
Yeah. Well, you know, we all have our flaws.
True. True. Yeah. And if hers is horrible torture and abuse of her husband, you know,
I probably deserve it.
So be it. See, there you go.
Yeah.
So maybe it's part one of her good qualities still.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I'm a battered husband. Do you have more questions?
I do have more questions. I know people hate to dwell on their
You
abuse.
Should call the authorities.
I will. I probably will. I'm not a mandated reporter, but I will anyway.
Yeah, I can't. I need help.
I could tell.
She's a wonderful person.
It must be under your shirt, though, because I don't see any bruises.
Yeah, she I'm an actor, so she keeps it,
keeps it covered up.
Yeah. And she pulls, when she hits me with the closed fist on the face, she pulls it a little bit. It's just enough to wake me up to her power.
Dangle.
So it never really shows, yeah.
Dangle your nerves and...
Yeah. Sometimes my jaw will feel weird, but nobody can really see that.
Little stars, not the big ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just jump in front of your
little
eyes.
Little stars, yeah. Yeah.
Todd, if you got the chance for a do-over in your life, any experience you've gone through to do-over, what would you do differently?
If I could do over, I mean, anything really, I would say I would like to do over the summer in which I found out I had a tumor in my leg and thought I might have cancer. And I spent several months in the thinking, not knowing whether or not it was cancerous or not, because they couldn't tell from the MRIs. They had to pull it out and do a biopsy on it. And that summer, I became such a jerk. I was such a selfish jerk because I thought I was dying, but my reaction to that was the world owes me more to my life. I didn't get enough. That's mostly what I was thinking. I didn't get enough sex. So I acted like a jerk to a lot of the young women in my life. If I could go back and be cool about potentially dying, I wish I could. Because so often, people who have these kind of illnesses, are represented in such a way, by stories and movies and the media that they're very sweet,
Yes,
and
radiant souls.
Radiant souls. And I'm grateful for all.
Gracious.
Yeah, all that I've had, and grateful for this time with the people that I love and all that stuff. And I did not have that reaction. Mm. I was like, this is fucking bullshit. I want a blowjob.
I think that might be the reaction more often than people talk about or admit.
This
sucks. Fuck you.
Fuck you. Well, it's like what they say about, people on their deathbed.
Yeah.
Always say, you know, they always regret the things they haven't done.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody ever says, I wish I had made more money.
Right.
It's always, I wish I'd spent more time with my family, you know? Uh-huh. But I wonder that about myself. I mean, will I be on my deathbed and be like, God damn it, I spent too much time with my family. I wish I'd made more money.
Why wasn't I rich all this time? It would have been so much more fun.
I should have made more money. I don't know. Maybe that's the way I'll be.
Yeah, I wonder that too.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, if I could go back, that's what
that
I
would be. Very interesting.
I would like to be a good generation. Because I do know people like who actually had cancer and were so much nicer and sweet and good people
and
trying to spend the rest of their life like, well, they were trying to get over it, but at the same time, they would try to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
But not me.
But not you.
Not me.
How old were you?
I was 20.
20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Because that was, it wasn't too long after that that I turned 21 and had the most infamous NYU 21st birthday party of all time.
Oh.
Where I alienated most of the people in my life. That was a bad year. That was a bad year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It tripped my psychology. It fucked me up.
Hmm.
That whole potentially dying thing. I did not react to it in the magical Hollywood way.
Hmm. And it lasted a while, huh? Even after you knew it was benign.
Oh, yeah. I think I had total PTSD after that. Yeah.
I imagine you would.
Why wouldn't you? I mean, it makes total sense. Yeah. But the thing is...
You might die. No, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, there's so much in my life that's like that. Because it's like, in the end, I didn't have cancer.
Right.
So it doesn't, like, when you tell the story, it doesn't have the impact that someone who actually got over cancer did.
Yes.
I had a real tumor in my leg that was taken out.
Yeah.
And I had to recover from a major surgery, which wasn't... It was hard and it hurt. But... I mean, I didn't know.
Yeah.
But then once it was benign, it was like, well, you never had cancer.
So get over it.
Get over it. It's like when I got mugged, but all he took was a slice of pizza. You know? So I got thrown against a wall. I had my life threatened. But then he said, all I want is your pizza. And he took my pizza and ran away.
Oh.
So when I tell people that, he didn't take my wallet or my money or my clothes.
Right.
It just took a slice of pizza. So when you tell people that, it's kind of hysterical, and they laugh. But in reality, I was mugged and had that terrifying experience.
At the time, it was upsetting.
Yeah.
Because you didn't know what he would want in the end.
Right.
And you were aggressively accosted.
Right. This is what I'm saying. So it's the same emotional experience. But because it's not... because maybe that's a materialistic world thing, but because he only took my pizza,
it's hilarious.
I didn't have any more money,
and nobody gives a shit
for another slice of pizza. You know, I had to wait from my next paycheck to get a slice of pizza again. So yeah, I didn't eat that much that night.
That guy's probably dead.
I don't know. Maybe
probably.
I think
he's probably dead.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's probably dead.
I don't wish death upon. I mean, he needed the pizza more than me.
Yeah, that's why he's probably dead. It's okay.
He's probably
dead. I feel better. I would feel lofty at this point.
Because the guy who mugged me is
dead. He's probably dead. He probably lived a life that went down that. Is that dark to say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's dark. It's dark. I mean, I get the human emotion, but I try to, like I say, if I could go back and be a better person that summer, in general, I try not to wish death upon people.
See, you could have had a do-over of that day. And when that guy was coming towards you, you trip him with your foot and
right.
he falls and hits his chin.
Yeah. I'm keeping my pizza, motherfucker.
Fuck you!
And he'll
you
be like,
run away.
He'll all be like, how'd you know I only wanted your pizza?
Or you eat the slice in the store.
Yeah. I punch him before he gets to me, and then I pin him down with my foot on his neck and just eat the pizza, looking down at him,
dripping oil periodically into his ear.
This pizza's good. It's New York pizza, motherfucker. Yeah, if I could do that over, I would. Yeah, for sure.
That'd be a good do over too. If you were given two. Or that's like, it's almost a half, really.
Yeah, that's a half.
One and a half. You can do that one, too.
Yeah.
I'll give you both.
Okay, thanks.
You can have both.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of death,
Uh-huh.
What do you want your tombstone to say?
Here lies Todd Robert Anderson. He was generally unimpressed.
I appreciate that you took it Western style to begin with. Here lies.
Well, yeah. I want it to be like a haunted mansion.
Yes. Here lies Todd Robert Anderson. He was generally unimpressed.
Beloved father and husband. He was generally unimpressed.
Is that true? Are you generally unimpressed?
No, that's not true. I just think it's a funny thing to put on your gravestone. I mean, yes, everybody would people who didn't know me would probably be like,
what a jerk.
What an asshole.
or how dare they assume that that's what he would say?
Right. But the people with the right sense of humor, whether they knew me or not, would think that's friggin' hilarious.
Yeah, that's true. They would.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a kind of a funny thing because it's unexpected. You know, because everybody, like, when they're looking back on life and all that, and the memory is always wonderful, and life is a gift and all that, and just to have a guy be like, meh, it wasn't that good.
It was all right.
Meh.
I like that. I don't even know how I would answer that question myself.
What would be on your tombstone?
Yeah, that's actually a hard question. You came up with that really quickly. He was generally unimpressed.
I've just been thinking about that.
Have you really?
Yeah, since I was in college. That's what I wanted it to say. Yeah. Yeah. I think yours should just be, instead of like words, it should just be a photograph of you. Like doing like two thumbs up with a happy big smile, like, yeah.
Hey!
I have seen gravestones with photographs. Like, photographs put on them permanently. Not, like, really not thinking about
the long haul.
Yeah.
And yeah, in 100 years, there's no photograph.
Well,
there,
what the sun does to a photograph. Yeah. Yeah, it's just.
It's kind of terrifying,
fades.
Actually.
Yeah.
It would make it look really creepy. Almost a reverse negative at a certain point.
This is exactly right. That's exactly right.
Maybe it would have to. I would have to have it carved, a carved figure of me put into the gravestone.
There you go.
With the smile, and
right, and then like colored in, could make it as photo real as possible.
Sharpies.
Yeah, with Sharpies.
Then I'd hire someone to do
because Sharpies are permanent.
Sharpies.
That doesn't fade
forever.
Forever. Yeah,
they are. Yeah. Sharpies are good.
Sharpies are good. Yeah.
Okay, I've got another question for you, Todd.
All right.
So if you could witness any event in time, the past, the present, or the future,
okay,
what event would you want to witness?
Whew. Events. You mean like historical or just any kind
any
of
event?
Wow. No matter what?
Absolutely.
I guess what I'd want to see, I don't know.
It's hard.
That's a really hard one. There's,
Because you think of your own personal events, you could view, like, a camera.
Right. But then, like,
or
historical events that really would have been cool to see. I really don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I would want to be there, when, I don't know. Oh, you know what actually be cool to see?
Yeah.
Because of all that I've read about it in the last number of years is the Martin Luther King Jr. speech, you know, I Had a Dream. Because all that I've understood is, even though, like, historically we've made, you know, it's an awesome speech.
Yeah.
And there's recordings of it, and it's become so significant. But apparently on the day, the crowd wasn't really paying that much attention.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, like it was. And he was, I'm probably getting this wrong, but it was like he was one of the speakers on the day. And there were other speakers who got larger responses
mm-hmm.
on the day.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like one of those, like that speech was more of an on your way homer. He didn't realize how great it was because it was just part of a
big event.
A big event. So I don't know. It would have been cool to be there to see that.
To see that. Interesting.
Yeah.
I was thinking, if you can see any event safely, I would sort of want to see how the Earth was formed. The moment.
Like the Big Bang thing?
Yeah.
Well, that's the universe, but I see what you're saying.
But I want to know, yes, the universe, that's true. But that's an event in history.
Sure.
I mean, technically it's a stretch mm-hmm. from our history, from mm-hmm. Earth's history, but I think that would be interesting to see.
It'd also be cool to...
All the planets.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Do you think that's fair to lump into a historical event?
Yeah, yeah. It's
okay, right?
It's history.
I'm trying to keep it to Earth, but really it's bigger.
I mean, some people think it's bullshit, but...
That's actually part of why...
But it'd be cool to see it.
I want
to
see it.
See it really happen. Yeah, yeah, no, totally. Another thing it'd be cool to see is the night my wife lost her virginity. It'd be cool to...
Why do you want to see that?
I don't know. Just to see what it's like. Yeah.
To see how young and awkward it was.
That? Oh, yeah, it's young and awkward, yeah.
She doesn't do it like that at all
anymore. It's not. She's way better than that.
Yeah, that's a funny one. I was actually thinking, wondering something along those lines, like watching a particular family vacation.
Yeah.
Like seeing my parents and my brother and I in Hawaii for something that I mostly only remember by the photographs I've seen, but I have some flash memories of it.
Right.
Being on the beach at night.
Mm-hmm.
But just watching us for a day.
Yeah, that would be cool.
As children. I think I was 4.
It would be cool. I mean, I don't know if you can call it an event, but it cool to, like, just sit and watch yourself
history.
As a child. Yeah, yeah. But just like a day, like I said, like my favorite childhood memory, like I'd like to spend just a day looking at my family when I was little, like during the summer.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Weekend day. Yeah, that would be really cool. I would do that. I would watch that.
Yeah. There's so many others. There's so many that it's almost impossible to narrow down.
Yeah, yeah, it's hard.
I mean, I would love to be a fly on the wall for... day women won the vote in America.
Yeah.
Way back then.
And at the same time, I'd also like to be there on the set of Apocalypse Now when Marlon Brando swallowed that bug.
That would be amazing, too.
Yeah.
But you can kind of go through that by watching Hearts of Darkness.
Yeah, but to be there.
To be there is different.
To have images reflected back at you through time is one thing, but to be there.
To actually be there.
To be there in that time. Oh, on that crazy fucking set.
Crazy days.
And I don't want to spend the whole time there. Just a day, and that day in which Marlon Brando swallows the bug. Mm. And that's in that weird village where they sacrifice the bison or whatever.
Oh, bison, that's right. I might want to be there when... I'm having a blank. Martin Sheen cut his hand open on the mirror.
Oh, yeah.
In the hotel room. For real.
For reals. And that was like right before he had his heart attack, right?
Yeah.
And then they had to delay production or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking crazy.
That's a good double feature. Apocalypse Now and Hearts of Darkness. Oh. Not everyone can wrap their minds around it. It's a big day. But,
That's a big day. I do really like that movie, though. The theatrical version, not the director's
Apocalypse
cut.
Now,
the original Apocalypse Now. I hate the director's cut. It's amazing how aging directors can screw up perfectly good movies they made in the 70s.
I thought you said Asian directors, but you did say aging, didn't you?
Aging.
Okay, good. I was like, I think you're
Francis
a little
Ford
confused
Coppola
about the definition
is
of Asian.
Not Asian.
Italian and Asian... Not the same, as it turns out.
And as far as I know, John Woo has not screwed up any of his old movies.
No.
He has not added any footage to Face Off.
No. He hasn't gone back and said, hey, you know what? For another $1 million to me, here's this 20 minutes that I think people need to see. Because he does it the way he wants it right from the beginning.
Right.
This is my movie. I've cut it.
Right.
There it is.
Right. And he doesn't look at his old movies probably and like feel regret or whatever.
Yeah.
I wish I could have done this. I wish I could have done that.
Yeah.
Which is what George Lucas did with the original Star Wars trilogy. And ruined it. He ruined it.
He ruined it.
He ruined it. He did. George Lucas ruined it, but whatever.
Yeah.
Star Wars and new, what's the new one called? The Force Awakens.
A new headache.
A new Force of Times.
A new frustration. New frustrations.
A new, but I feel like everybody, nobody is going to say this movie destroyed my childhood. You know, the memories. Because that's what everybody said about the prequels.
Oh.
It's like he's ruining my childhood memories.
Well, it's too late. They're already ruined. So what can this new one do that isn't already tainted?
Just, yeah, it'll just be dumb.
They're so different for me, though. When I see the first three movies and, you know, not the ones that came out first, but the ones that are episode 1, 2, and 3.
Uh-huh.
And then I see the ones that originally came out, episodes 4, 5, and 6. They feel like completely separate movies to me.
Oh, yeah.
They don't even feel like they're connected in the series.
No. Well, it's
because...
It seems
like two different series of movies.
Well, I mean, the original trilogy, episodes 4, 5, and 6, were... you know, they're not great movies. But they do have... I mean, and people get so mad when I say that, like Star Wars nuts, and they're like, "Nah, you're just saying that because that's you're supposed, you know, you think you're a critic and bump." I'm like, "No, they're actually, if you really, really look at them, they're not. They're just episodic, silly episodic
action adventure films,
soap
in space.
You know, what's it called? They're serials that are jammed together, and that's all that George Lucas had intended to begin with,
right?"
So they're not really great narratives. They're just kind of fun, dumb movies.
Yeah.
They are for kids. I believe there are kids in all of us. You know, we have our inner child and we can enjoy fluffy stuff, but that's all it is. These are not great films. These are not even important films. They're only important according to money and box office and the concept of blockbuster and all that. That's the only reason they're important. They're not great stories, but they're fun, and mostly it's, you know, and they were at the time the special effects were unmatched, you know, so they were effects driven movies, but the characters themselves were kind of fun and the performances were kind of fun, even though none of the acting is particularly great,
right?
And that's what resonated then. But the prequels, one, the special effects were not revolutionary when those prequels came out. They were it was just another CGI movie.
Yeah.
And the first
one of them was the CGI was terrible.
Well, they were they didn't look great, you know. It like Jurassic Park came out in the early 90s.
Yeah. That's
and
right.
And that CGI was way better than the CGI in these movies that came out almost 10 years later. So Or 10 years later. I can't remember when they came out. 01 or something like that.
I can't remember
the first
either.
One. But whatever. And the characters are not interesting.
Yeah.
And the acting, which is fascinating because I think a lot of the actors in the prequels are better actors than the actors in the originals.
Mm-hmm.
But none of them turn in good performances because they're all flat.
Yeah.
I mean, say what you will about Mark Hamill.
Right.
Like, not the most powerful actor in the world, but his performance, while sometimes not good, was never flat.
It was always, there was always 100% effort put into emotional moments.
Right.
Whereas Ewan McGregor, who's a great actor, doesn't put in a great performance.
Right.
He's the perfect example of that. You look at him and think, what are you doing?
Well, and part of the problem is he didn't know what he was doing.
I think he was told to do an impersonation of the original actor. And knowing that he was doing that, I think that stymied his performance. I think he was constantly trying to do his vision of what a younger version of that actor would look like.
Well,
and that made him a little stiff.
Well, his impersonation was pretty good.
It was great, but it also I think made him self-conscious.
Well,
he didn't want to speak normally and he didn't want to do anything exactly, you know, like he would do it.
Maybe, but I mean, that's an interesting argument, except that everybody else in the movie was equally as flat.
That's true. Natalie Portman, boring.
Boring. Liam Neeson, boring.
Sam Jackson.
Everybody in the movie is boring.
Yep.
all the performances are flat.
Yeah, everybody's so boring.
That's
Yoda. Boring.
Boring.
I mean, I really feel like the flattest performance came from Yoda.
Yes.
I was really disappointed in what he delivered.
Yes. So you were disappointed in Frank Oz?
No, I mean Yoda. I really, his performance was just...
You know Yoda's not real. Like, Yoda's a, like,
well,
made up.
Well, you say that, but do you notice he hasn't done anything since those movies?
Yoda?
Yeah. But since the follow-up, since the, you know, the first
prequels.
Three episodes, you haven't seen him much, have you?
But the...
Remediation. They've been giving him lessons. He's been to the Strasbourg Institute,
uh-huh.
working on his...
I don't know if that's the best place to go.
Inner content.
Okay. Yeah, except Yoda's not real. But I see your point.
I don't know what you're saying.
I see your point. Yoda's not real. Do you have any more questions? Yoda's not real.
I don't. It's...
Was that it?
No, there are more questions.
Okay.
Why do you feel like getting out?
Well, I'm now uncomfortable because you seem delusional.
That's not a problem for me, but if you have problems with my approach to the show, I don't know what to tell you.
No, yeah, I don't have problems. Maybe okay. You should just ask me more questions.
If you want to leave at any time, I just want you to know the door is locked. But
so you're saying I can't leave?
You can't leave. But okay. You could ask, and I might have it opened.
Okay.
So
that's really thoughtful.
This leads us to a good question.
Okay.
What are you most afraid of?
What am I most afraid mm-hmm. of? Dying. That's, most afraid of dying.
That's pretty standard, I would think.
Yeah.
Unless you're really religious. I think my grandmother was not most afraid of dying. She would not have said that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I do have a certain amount of jealousy for people who believe in certain things about the afterlife. I'm not an atheist, so I don't really know if there is one or not. But don't know. I don't know if it's death itself that scares me so much as the process of dying.
Pain being the torture and pain of...
Pain.
Knowing it's coming.
Having to let go. And mm-hmm. Yeah. I get freaked out sometimes.
Mm.
Like, sometimes... Mm-hmm. Ever since I, you know, got around the age of 40, I've had that. Like, just I have sudden, like a sudden awareness. Because you get caught up in the day-to-day minutia,
mm-hmm.
or you're caught up in your career, or you're worried about your kid, or you're worried about your finance. You're worried about stuff.
Right.
And all that is, like, sometimes when you strip all that away and you, like...
Yeah.
On one hand,
your mortality.
Certainly. Yeah. And on one hand, it's freeing because you're like, well, this doesn't mm-hmm. really matter.
Yeah.
You know, but then at the other hand, it's like not knowing, you know, what that whole thing is terrible. I don't know how you cannot be scared of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's cool if you're not, but I think if you're not, you're probably deluded.
Mm-hmm. Well, and some people might argue that religion is a delusion for people who are fearing death and not knowing what comes after.
Right, and it's a comfort.
It's an answer.
It's a comfort.
To that question.
Yeah, it's an answer where there is none.
Taking away death, what's the second thing you're most afraid of?
Spiders.
Spiders.
Yeah.
Spiders.
Yeah, I fucking hate spiders. I don't
wow.
like
them. So no pet tarantula for you.
Nope.
Your family.
No.
Would you even have if you had to do a movie, because you're an actor.
Uh-huh.
If you had to do a movie where a tarantula was on your shoulder.
Uh-huh.
And you had to do that, look. Ah! Could you do it? Would you?
I could look and scream. But the thing is with those things, you don't want to startle them.
Yeah, it's right by your neck if
right.
you're on your shoulder.
And they don't, their bites aren't deadly, but they hurt like a bee sting.
Mm.
So when you have a tarantula or tarantulas on you, you have to move very slowly and be very still. And they shoot these scenes according to that. But you're not going to scream at a tarantula. They'll have the tarantula on you and maybe cut to you screaming, but you won't see someone screaming with a tarantula on them or jump because one, it'll throw the tarantula off and hurt the tarantula, and the animal people don't like that. And it's really not fair to the tarantula, because the tarantula didn't ask to be in the friggin' show.
Poor tarantula.
Yeah. But at the same time, yeah, it would freak me out. I would not, I don't think
but
I could
do
that.
You don't think you could?
I don't know that I could. I could have a snake on me. Mm-hmm. I could do rats, mice, pretty much anything.
Scorpion.
I think a scorpion might be a little difficult.
Yeah, I don't think I'd have a scorpion.
I like stinging insects.
Yeah.
Bugs and insects.
I think I'm more likely to have a tarantula on me than a scorpion. Because a scorpion stings more readily, I feel like, than a spider at that size will bite. I think you really have to startle a tarantula and make it feel in fear for it to bite you. But why do I feel like a scorpion is just going to sting willy-nilly?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I do like playing that game, though, in bars where you have, like, a scorpion, like, right on the back of your hand, and you have to drink a beer.
With that, and see if it stings you?
You have to chug the whole beer, and then once you chug the beer, you can put it, throw it off your hand and put the beer mug over the scorpion to keep it from stinging you, but you can't do that till you empty the beer.
That's a fun game.
It's a great game.
I also love the scorpion bowl game, where you get this big drink with two straws and you share it with someone.
And you put scorpions in it?
Nope. It's just, you just
share
it. That's
not a game.
That's my favorite scorpion game.
It's not as manly.
Oh, and sometimes they light a little shot of it on fire in the middle, so it's dangerous.
Sure, yeah.
So you have to be aware of the flames while you drink your scorpion bowl drink.
Yeah. It's a good reminder of how dangerous fire can really be. I think a lot of us
really
take it
careful.
For granted, you know.
I do too.
We kind of scoff at fire.
I scoff all the time at fire. It's my favorite thing to scoff at.
Fire.
Fire. we amuse ourselves, listeners. Okay, let me see. I got other questions, but what's a skill you'd like to learn, Todd?
A skill I'd like to learn. Jeez, there's so many.
You've got a little time left in your 40s. So you can only pick one.
I'd like to learn to play an instrument.
Really? Interesting.
Maybe the piano.
Hmm.
Maybe I'd like to learn the piano.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe guitar, but probably piano.
Why? What would lean you toward one or the other? Guitar or piano?
I don't know. I feel like piano. I mean, these are all things I've tried to learn in the past and just don't have the self-discipline to practice. And I don't know. For whatever reason, I just don't find it that compelling.
The piano?
The practice of
practicing.
Whatever instruments. Piano's the only one I actually didn't learn. Try to learn. I tried to learn a lot of others. Guitar, harmonica, a couple of different horns. But I just never took. But I don't know. I think piano.
To learn to play an instrument.
I like the idea of pianos.
What about harmonica?
I tried the harmonica.
Oh, did you?
I had a hard time with it, and it's very drooly.
Oh, yeah, of course.
There's a lot of spit.
Yeah, I played the French horn. You have to, like, drink, you know, empty the spit.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Like, the horn thing and the harmonica thing is kind of gross.
Yeah, it's a little spit heavy.
Yeah, and, you have to really wash that stuff or it stinks.
Yeah.
You know, and the piano's just your fingers. It's just,
and the guitar. The thing I like about the guitar, it's funny, that would be...
It's more portable.
Yes, exactly.
But maybe that's not a good thing.
Social... Why? Because you'd be that douche who gets out your...
It's not my favorite thing. I mean, I know a lot of really talented guitar players, and it can be fun to have a sing-along and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But there's something about people busting out their guitars that gives me pause. I don't know.
It's awkward moment around the campfire when you really just wanted to talk, but someone gets out the guitar and then you feel compelled to sing.
But I think that's true about pianos, too. You have to be in the room with the piano. Like, someone can't, like, with a guitar, you can do a sneak attack.
Yeah, piano, you know, people like can walk out of the room.
Right, right.
They can, after clapping out that last song, you right. can just cut out and say, I'm going to go get a drink.
Well, unless, I mean, like, if it's a party yeah. and everybody's inside in the big room, the great room that the party's in, has the piano, then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then you're, I don't know, that sort of thing, you, like, it's, you've got this captive audience. And yes, like, technically, they're all free to leave. But nobody does, because at a party, you're polite.
Yeah.
So if yeah. you yank out any kind of instrument and start playing an instrument, demanding the attention of everybody in the room.
Yeah, you that's know what true. I mean? Nobody feels like they can walk away without being rude.
Right. I mean, and that's the, like, I feel like when I'm in my 50s, if I live that long, that's when I'll start, like, if I'm at a party and that happens,
yeah.
that's when I'll start going, oh, fuck you. Fuck this. I'm
that's
leaving.
That's the age when you're just going to call people
out. I'm just
going
to call people out. Put the fucking guitar away. Do you want me to stay at this party? Then put it away.
So you're going
to
be that crusty old
man.
I'm going to
be so cranky.
Yeah. What was your tombstone again? He was
generally unimpressed. Yeah.
I'm generally unimpressed. I'm at this party and you took out your guitar. I'm unimpressed. That's you in your 50s. It yeah. sounds like much older man.
Yeah.
But it's weird. Going to be you in your 50s.
An old man played by Dana Carvey.
By Dana Carvey. Yes. For a second there, I realized I was actually impersonating Dana Carvey. It sounded pretty good.
It sounded exactly like Dana Carvey That's doing so an old man.
Bizarre. I was doing an impression of Dana Carvey doing an impression of an old man.
You're right.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool. It's way better than the, like, usual impression of some other comic doing an impression of Christopher Walken, you Harold.
That is the most... When people say, hey, he's a great... He does great impersonations. He can do an impression of Christopher Walken. I'm never impressed.
No.
Because that is the most common
no.
one. That is what you always do. That's Walken, impressions 101.
Walken,
that's the first class in doing impressions.
Right. Walken, Shatner.
Shatner.
And
right.
Bill Cosby.
Yes.
If those are your... in your stable... No, stop it.
Stop. Just don't.
So often, they're not that good because they sound more like Kevin Pollak doing Christopher Walken than actually right. Christopher Walken.
And there are some great impressions of really random people. Gosh, who was it who can do one of Gene Hackman that completely blows your mind? Because it's hard to wrap your mind around what an impression of Gene Hackman
right,
look like and
right.
sound like. What is that? What does he sound like? I can't
yeah,
remember.
Yeah, if you can do shit like that.
And when
yeah.
someone just pulls that out of their ass, it's you just get kind of blown away.
Yeah. Like, Kevin Spacey did a bunch of good impersonations.
Yeah.
Back in the day. But then I actually saw someone do an impersonation of Kevin Spacey. And then I was like, that's a good impersonation.
Oh, Kevin Spacey. Oh, that would
like,
be a good
like,
one.
Where are the... Like, Walken and Shatner are so...
Yeah.
Like, specifically nuanced in the way they talk.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
And they themselves have played that up. Like, the older they get, the more they talk that way. Because they're playing up their iconic
yeah,
personas.
That's right. Why they've been cast.
And so it doesn't... I don't know. That's not that impressive. But
yeah.
if you do someone who's a more subtle performer... Like, if someone did a spot-on impersonation of Don Cheadle, for example, I'd be like, holy shit!
Whoa! That's Don Cheadle!
That is Don Cheadle! Like, have you ever heard of... No, you haven't, because
Who would even think of doing a Don Cheadle impression?
I think somebody should!
That would be... If you find someone who can do a Don Cheadle, I'm putting them on my show.
Alright, I will let you know if I find someone who can
or
do a Don
if
Cheadle.
You work on a Don Cheadle...
I will. I mean,
you
I'm
call
big,
me and we'll, you come back
I'm
right
a
away.
Big Cheadle fan, despite the movie Crash.
What's your favorite Don Cheadle movie?
Ooh, probably. Well, I don't know if it's a Don Cheadle movie, but
any,
you mean a movie that Don Cheadle?
Yeah.
Well, I think he's really friggin' funny in Out of Sight.
Yes.
He's so funny in that movie, but he's always good, and he has like that. He's a guy who's got a lot of range in my estimation.
Mm-hmm.
He's very different in every part, and you can play, you know, big characters and subtle leading men. And
that's true. That's appealing and creepy, super he can creepy do
he can
act,
be scary
right?
he can be yeah. lovely he can do it all mm-hmm. Cheadle's good. Again, for me, Crash was a big sad disappointment. I'm sorry he was involved in that.
Yes, that was a very that was a critically acclaimed film that
Best Picture it won.
Yeah, I just was not on that bandwagon either.
I found it the whole thing deeply offensive.
Impressive. Oh, what was offensive about it to you?
Just its preachiness about racism. It was such a like white guy's take on racism mm-hmm. and how to be better about each other. It just was bullshit. I mean, and then just the story itself was bullshit. The like yeah. people in LA constantly running into each other even though they didn't know each other.
Yeah.
That doesn't fucking happen.
Yeah, that's true.
It does not happen.
That is true. I live 3 blocks from my mom, and I would never see her if we didn't make plans to lunch.
Because we're all in our friggin' cars yeah. all the time, we don't run into each other. You have to plan meetings to yep. run into people.
Okay, today I did run into my postal worker. My post office. What is why am I my mail delivery guy?
Your mail carrier.
My mail carrier. Thank you. There's so many politically correct ways to say that, but it is a guy. I ran into him at the place where I was buying new windshield wipers.
Uh huh.
So that was a Crash moment, and I did immediately.
Was there racial tension? Between
I started.
Them?
He well, I ran into him, and he immediately said "white bitch" and slapped me in the face.
Oh Jesus!
And then a cop came and pushed him to the ground.
Oh, because he was not white.
Because he was not white.
Right. Good.
Yeah. So we did.
As long as we're still running at full capacity with that, that's great news.
No, it was that was my Crash. Series of moments of the day. No, I did actually run into my mail carrier, though.
Well, okay. So there are exceptions to this. But in general, I mean, in that movie, people ran into each other. You're talking about a neighborhood situation.
Yeah.
A very enclosed neighborhood situation. Right. This is... The Crash is not Do the Right Thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, if that happened in a Do the Right Thing world, I'd buy it.
You're right.
Because it's a tight,
you've got Beverly Hills
like a few blocks.
Ladies running into South Central dudes.
They're driving all over LA and running into each other all the time. It's like, does not happen. That movie was so contrived.
It was very
and preachy and offensive. I hated it.
What did you think of Shortcuts?
Oh, I like Shortcuts.
Now, you could write a very fine essay comparing and contrasting those two movies.
Well,
because they have a similar, point to point, point A to point B to point C, coming around to the beginning style.
Sure.
But Shortcuts work so well. So why do you think Shortcuts worked so much
Shortcuts is
better?
A little different because it was a filmmaker and I'm not a huge Altman fan. I know everyone who likes movies is supposed to be, but I don't like most of Altman's movies. I think they're meandering. And people talk over each other too much.
Do you like Shortcuts?
I do. I like The Player and I like Shortcuts. Uh-huh. I like The Player more than Shortcuts. I think The Player is his best movie. Shortcuts, for me, mostly is about the cast.
Mm-hmm.
And the Raymond Carver short stories that it's based on. I like those stories. So it was fun to see, one, the actors playing these stories, but it was fun to see them the stories woven together in a way and brought together through, the Los Angeles landscape.
But it was believable to you the way it carried from one overlap to the other?
Shortcuts was a melodrama. So and I guess Crash is too, maybe.
Yeah, it definitely is, yeah.
But I don't think Crash meant to be a melodrama. I think it meant to be an important movie about racism.
I see.
Shortcuts is not that. Shortcuts is just a movie. Based on Raymond Carver's short stories. And a lot of it's dark and a lot of it's about people behaving poorly and what tips the scales for some people and into the darkest places and brings people out of the darkness, back to the light and where the bullshit lies and all of that.
There are definitely themes in Crash, in Shortcuts, though. I mean, the way you say it, it's sort of like there's no through line of
theme. No, there's themes, but they're not preachy.
What does it mean? That's, well, it depends. You're right. I mean, I don't think it's a preachy theme. I don't think it's a preachy theme, but it is a theme that has a serious message or question. I kind of saw Shortcuts as the question posed to people with no answer of what makes a person good and what makes a person evil. Because there's moments in the movie where the person you think that's evil, they're not what you thought they were. That there are levels to people that you don't know. So it's about the assumptions people make about each other. That was sort of what came out of that feeling.
Yeah.
It's sort of wove through so that you follow a character far enough throughout the storyline that you come out of it thinking, oh, I thought that person was here. And now I realize that I didn't see everything. There's more to that person than I realized. Right. So it's about assumptions and what makes a person good and evil. That's what I got from that movie.
Yeah. It's also about shallow, self-involved people from Los Angeles. A lot of that Shortcuts is.
Yeah.
Because most of the characters are pretty self-involved. I think that's
true.
Sort of, you know.
Well, that might be Carver's judgment of Los Angeles.
Well, I don't.
Is it supposed to be set in Los Angeles?
No,
stories. Okay.
No, that was a filmmaker's choice. Uh-huh. He was relating the Carver stories to the L.A. lifestyle.
Oh, I see. So he must have seen a superficiality in the stories that he felt would make it.
Right, yeah.
You know, that would be woven into the L.A. scene very easily.
Yeah, exactly. But, again, you know, while it was... I mean, and there's a lot of people who are very critical of Shortcuts and don't like it. And I get that. But, I mean, I just... it's interesting to compare that to Crash, but Crash is way more pretentious and preachy than Shortcuts was. Even if Shortcuts does have elements of that, they're not as large as Crash. Mm-hmm. And Crash is... Shortcuts is playing with themes, certainly, about human relations. But, you know, and there is race involved in some of it and all that, but more, I would say, Shortcuts is more about misogyny than racism, as far as your hot-button social issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's still not preachy. And telling you how to live your life. It's just a reflection of life. Whereas Crash is this thing that's supposed to make you think and supposed to make you really look at how you deal with people of other races. And I don't know. It's just fucking stupid. I think it's stupid.
Yeah, I was not a fan.
I don't like movies about social issues where that's clearly why the movie was made. Yeah. As opposed to a movie that's actually trying to tell a story and reveal things about characters and show us real characters. It's like, I'm building this thing around a social issue. And it's like, no, then you can just write a blog piece that I can read in 5 minutes.
I'll read that as well.
Yeah, racism is bad. Thank you.
Quick capsule review.
Yeah, racism is bad. I, you know, who are you preaching to?
Yeah. Yeah,
I agree. It's also one of those movies. Crash is one of those movies, as all Oscar-nominated, you know, Best Picture-type movies are. When they're preachy, who are they preaching to? Because the people who need to learn about the downside, quote-unquote, of racism, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like the people who are going to see a movie like Crash already fucking know that.
Yeah.
We're already enlightened.
Right, the people don't need that message. They're not showing up to that movie.
They're not watching Crash. They're not going to go see The Help. They're not going to see those preachy-ass movies. And those are the people that need preaching to.
You're absolutely right. They're going to go see the Will Ferrell movie where they're teaching people how to act like a brother to get along in prison.
That's exactly right.
That's hilarious, those dudes. That's
exactly right. But that was just satire, Hillary.
Oh, that's right.
It's just satire.
That's just satire, silly me.
I know your show has to wrap up soon, but how do you feel about the whole Amy Poehler thing with the... Amy Schumer thing with the racism. Like her making racist jokes about, like she did the thing about, you know, I used to date exclusively Latinos, but then I realized I like it more consensual, which was her joke, which is condemning the entire Latino culture as rapists.
As being rapists.
Whether or not that joke is funny is not really what I'm talking about, but she's saying, you know, it's satire. It was just a joke, you know, which is what comedians often
most of
say,
my boyfriends are Latino.
Right. It's like, I have great Latino friends.
You know, I think that's a tough line because I do think there should be some allowance given to comedians. Comedians have historically pushed the border on what is appropriate.
Right, right.
And you look back on comedians and, you know, your favorite comedians, Richard Pryor, and we're not talking appropriate comedy. And we're not talking about things that people were always comfortable listening to, Lenny Bruce, and these were things that made people really uncomfortable.
Right.
And weren't always hilarious. But they push at things and make you, I think the humor is around looking at that topic more closely sometimes.
Right.
That said, that comedy does push lines and it's not always funny and sometimes it's offensive. Even what I might find funny now that other people don't, not everyone finds offensive, someone does find it offensive.
Right.
You know, there are some jokes I make with my friends in my living room that of color, then she and I joke around that I would never make those jokes outside of our living room. But that said, you know, when there's a way to say things and a way that's not funny. Mm. And that particular joke I don't think was funny, and it pointed to a stereotype. So it did unfortunately did two things at the same time. It wasn't funny enough a joke. It was a little too pointed.
Mm-hmm.
So that joke to me was that fell flat, and because it fell flat, and the reason it fell flat is because there wasn't enough of a joke in it.
Right.
It was actually more of a comment.
Right.
You don't get consensual sex with Latino lovers.
Well,
that's not funny.
Right. But it's not so much that she said the joke that, like what you're saying about we have to give leeway to comics. Is,
yeah.
I agree with that. I think comics should get
to... You don't have to. The truth is you don't have to. But comedy is going to push you into uncomfortable places, whether you like it or not.
I'm reacting to the reaction of all these comics.
They're really angry.
Outside of Chris Rock, they're all white.
Right.
Who are talking about... You know, Chris Rock just went in and said, why did TV Land pull the Dukes of Hazzard? That's a dumb thing to do. You know, TV Land pulled the Dukes of Hazzard because there's a Confederate flag on the General Lee.
Right.
At least in the first few seasons. They removed it. CBS ultimately removed it, and it was just an orange car with a 0 and a 1 on it. But TV Land pulled it because of the whole Confederate flag thing going on right now in the culture. But all these comics are saying, you know, this is like Jerry Seinfeld calls it creepy, and Bill Maher says, you don't know, let me explain jokes to you, and, you know, like people who can't take a joke, blah, 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 blah. And saying, like, this is an infringement on our freedom of speech. And I don't agree with that at all, because this isn't the government telling them, hey, you're being racist, stop it. This is their audience.
Yeah.
You know?
The audience didn't like it.
And even if it's an entire audience of internet trolls who are assholes and just looking to start something, doesn't matter. Freedom of speech goes two ways. And as far as Amy Schumer, like, her reaction was never to say I'm sorry. Their reaction is never to go, you know what? You're right. I pushed the envelope too far. I crossed the line. Like, it would be so easy for these comics who stubbornly say, I have a freedom of speech, I can say whatever I want, you guys are uptight, you guys are this, you guys are that, you guys don't really understand what racism is, blah, 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 blah. But a joke like Amy Schumer's about all Latinos being rapists...
Which is a bizarre joke that screams some kind of horrible assault on her.
Well, whatever the...
I don't even know where she gets that joke. Where that joke came out of left field for me. I don't even understand the context of that joke.
I think in her stand-up, she sort of, like, does this thing where she's, like, a dumb white girl. She plays dumb white girl. But she doesn't necessarily delineate between her dumb white girl character and her actual self, so I think it's kind of hard within the act itself to, as an audience member, to delineate where that is. But it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You said something that was insightful and offensive to an entire race of people.
Yep.
They called you on it.
Yep.
You say, your response is, I'm not a racist, I'm just joking. That is the response of a racist. Mm-hmm. That is a response of a racist. Michael Richards said the same thing after he called an audience member a nigger who was heckling him.
Right.
He said, you know, use the...
I saw that.
Said nigger 8 times at this guy, and then later said it was just a joke, part of a stand-up act. But he didn't get away with it because it was the N-word.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, that's completely off limits, but it's the fucking same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's... In with Michael Richards, maybe not a great example, because clearly he was just being aggravated and, you know, trying to say the most hurtful thing he could to this person who was heckling him, because he mm-hmm. couldn't handle a heckler, because he wasn't a really seasoned stand-up. He started doing stand-up after, you know, he was famous to make money.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying about the general reaction, you know, when people get called out for these racist comments or jokes... is, yes, we should let them slide because Amy Schumer is really funny and she should keep doing funny stuff. But there's nothing wrong. It doesn't make her weaker, which I think in her mind it does, or right. something, to defend it as a freedom of speech thing.
Yeah. To just say, hey, look, I realize now I that was an offensive joke to a lot of people.
Right.
You know, I pushed the line. It wasn't funny. The part about I fucked up, see, I don't know. I don't know about coming out and saying that was a huge mistake. Because if you look back on the jokes that you laughed at, I mean, that now are horribly offensive. What if she was a Latina comedian? Would she be allowed to say that? It's a fair question to ask. Because I think the issue is... that what you're saying is she's white, so she's racist for making that joke.
Right.
As opposed to she looked at a context and then found a way to make a joke about something that's... Rape is just not a good setup for a joke. Let's face it. Never going to be a funny joke. There are probably a lot of women around who have been raped who thought, fuck that, that's not funny.
Right.
And you didn't even notice the color element of it, the racial element.
Right.
But... can she make a joke about rape? Is she, you know, she made a joke about rape and she pointed to a whole ethnic group.
Well, I think you can make...
should she apologize for that being her joke?
I see what you're saying, yeah. I mean, I think you can make... I think you can make all kinds of jokes. I really do. And I think it's how they're housed and the angle that you're coming from.
Yeah.
And if they are satirical, you have to understand the satire. I mean, I think it's not as easy as... comics are pushing the envelope. We have to let them slide. I mean, you can let the person in their career keep going. You don't have to hang them out to dry because they made one bad joke. But at the same time, you do have to... They have to deal with it.
It's okay to push back and say, that's not funny. That's offensive.
Yeah, and you don't get, like, a free...
Absolutely.
Bill Maher drives me nuts because he wants, like, nobody ever to blow back against him.
Well, it's Maher is a big dick.
Yeah, well,
And he hates when people push back at him for... he wants to have limitless power to mouth off.
Right.
And that's Bill Maher.
Right.
I don't believe that people should be allowed to say whatever they want. And if you put yourself out there and say a joke publicly, be prepared.
That's what I'm saying. Own it. I would say, yeah, I made a racist joke about Latinos. Don't try to pretend that it's not when it is. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
It was a racist joke about Latinos. There's no question about that. That it was a racist joke. I've heard a lot of racist jokes, and I've heard a lot of sexist jokes, and nobody seems to push back on that very much. Because with women, who gives a shit, right?
Well, I'm guilty.
They'll just take it.
Yeah, and like,
but
my comedy from 10, 15, 20 years ago, I'm guilty of homophobic jokes, misogynistic jokes, not so much racist jokes, but I'm definitely guilty of those two things. But I know now not to make those jokes.
Yeah.
Like, I do think that they were a mistake, and I do think that they weren't funny.
Yeah.
So, all these people, all these comics in the public eye, like, it's cool if you make a mistake, but what I'm saying is, once you've made the mistake, you have to evolve with it. If you're hanging on to it, then maybe you genuinely are racist.
If you're that defensive and you can't say, look, I can see how that was offensive.
Sorry, I won't
do it
again.
That joke has a racist tone.
Yeah.
That's not going to be part of my stand-up anymore.
That's all I'm saying.
If she came out and said that, that's falling short of, I'm sorry I said that. I'm not a racist. I don't think she needs to apologize mm-hmm. for a joke that people were offended by. Because if she has to apologize, every comedian that I know has to apologize.
Well,
to somebody.
I'm not saying anybody has to apologize.
But it's okay to admit when a joke right. went too far. Joke went too far.
Right. Right. That's what I'm saying. Like,
you know, that now.
Yeah, that was a
it
racist
went too
joke.
Far.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I agree with you there. Maybe apology is too strong a word. Anyway, I gotta go. I gotta get my kid at camp and take him to get his haircut.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, cool. Well, it is always a pleasure having you, Todd.
Thanks.
And I'm serious about that impression.
All right, I'll work on my cheetle.
Yes, if you can come up with a cheetle.
No, but wait a sec. If I'm a white guy, if I'm doing Don Cheadle, is that racist?
Don't apologize.
I'm sorry.
Do it unapologetic. No, don't apologize.
I apologize.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, for apologizing, I'm sorry.
Okay, good. Because you have to do it unapologetically, but then admit if it sounds racist later.
All right.
All right, everybody. That's our show. Thank you very much, Mr. Todd Robert Anderson, for coming to the Toddcast. I'm your host, Hillary. Have a good day, Gingers.